Amen. As the choir is exiting, can we follow the admonition of Scripture? Let us draw near. Can we take a moment just to enter in? Would you do that? Would you lift your heart and hands and say, I'm entering in. I'm drawing near. Hallelujah. I'm coming into the throne room of God, into the presence of Creator, Redeemer God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, righteous. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This morning, if you would turn to Matthew 24, and we'll look at the Word of God this morning. And even though it's Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to continue our theme of the Bible being a reliable guide for these last days. And we certainly need a guide for these last days. I marvel how the Lord orchestrates a service. We don't get together and set a common theme, and then all the departments agree to what we're going to do to fit that theme. But the junior choir came out this morning, and they sang about the Bible, didn't they? And then Sister Rebecca didn't even know she was going to lead songs. I knew it, but I forgot to tell her. She didn't even she didn't know she was going to lead songs, and yet she was following the Lord and chose a song that fit, dovetailed particularly with the message this morning. I appreciate the way the Lord orchestrates things. And so we're going to continue the theme, the Bible is our reliable guide in these last days. Matthew chapter 24, there's so much in Matthew 24. We won't begin to get into it. I just want to choose four verses for us to look at this morning and to bring a message from those. And so if you would stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, Matthew chapter 24. First verse we're going to read is verse 33. And I want you to know, as we read, if you have a red-lettered edition, and you would have been able to figure it out by the substance of the words anyway, but these are the words of Christ. These are the words of Jesus. So Matthew 24, verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. I want you to notice the word in this verse, near. It is near. Near. I rarely have us do this, but could we say that as the congregation, just that one word, near. Let's say it again, near. Verse 36. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Look at the first word, watch. Could we say that word together? Watch. One more time. Watch. Near. Watch. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. This morning, I'm not going to attempt to distinguish and differentiate between the rapture and ultimate return of Christ. We'll do that at another time. I'm going to speak of both those events and other related events comprehended in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to preach this morning, the Bible's a reliable guide to the unexpectedness of His coming. The unexpectedness of His coming. I would covet your prayers this morning. Would you stretch forth the hand this way and pray with me and for me that God would have His way, that lives would leave here changed eternally. Father, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Eternal Spirit of God, move upon the mind and the words and the hearts. God, I pray that your word would go forth in power. I pray, Lord, that someone here would recognize that only Jesus can save them and turn their lives around, that they can leave here with hope in their hearts. God, let them sense that right now. Lord, their situation seems hopeless, but that they can leave here with hope, knowing if Jesus were to come today, they would go back with Him and spend eternity with Him. Lord, I pray You'd anoint me to speak Your word in power and authority. In Jesus' name, we pray You'd bless Your people by hearing the word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I'll only dwell on the reliable guide part of this title, simply to say it is reliable what we read, because Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, it's reliable. It's authoritative. It's dependable. His word is reliable. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said His coming is unexpected. That means it's unforeseen. It's unprepared for. Jesus said, my coming is unexpected. But His point was, it shouldn't be unexpected. It should be expected. Amen. By His people. In other words, Jesus, if you would read the whole chapter 24, Jesus said folks should take note of the signs around them and recognize that He is coming, and He is coming suddenly and soon. Another verse in 24 says, Jesus says, but know this, if the goodman of the house had known what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In other words, Jesus is saying, since one doesn't know when a thief will come, He prepares for that thief's coming at any time. If you knew the thief would just come between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., you probably wouldn't bother to lock your doors until sometime before that. But you don't know the hour the thief is coming. So you keep your doors locked. You keep things latched down and locked because you don't know what hour the thief comes. Amen. Notice what Jesus said in this verse alone. He said if He had known when He was coming, He would have watched. Amen. I see a decision that we have this morning. We're either going to, in the end of things, fall in the group of those who would have watched, or we're going to fall into the group of those who did watch. I don't want to be one of those who would have watched if we really realized how serious, or would have watched if we really realized how soon His coming was. But I want to be in the midst, in the middle of those who are those that are watching, who did watch when He comes. Amen. We just, last week, we made a quick trip to Oklahoma, where I was raised, and to see Hannah and my parents. And we drove up to Oklahoma City, and Hannah lives just south of Oklahoma City. And we passed an area that in my time, there was a mall there, Crossroads Mall. I-35, Interstate 35, Interstate 240, and it was the premier mall of that time. And in between semesters of Bible school, a friend of mine, we would drive from our hometown 35 miles away, and we would take tracks. And they didn't have those notices up then, but to forbid it. And so we would take tracks, and we would go into the mall, and we would pass out tracks and try to win folks to the Lord. And I would never forget one night we had been throughout the mall, and we were getting ready to leave, and we were parked at the end of the corridor where there wasn't a lot of customer traffic, you know, not the main shops. And right there before we left, sitting on a bench, was a man waiting, no doubt, for his wife to shop. I didn't know what that was like back then, but I understand that now. And he was just sitting there, you know, bored. And I thought, well, you know, we'll witness to him about the Lord. And I walked up to him with those tracts, and I said, sir, I said, we're just trying to find people that don't know Jesus Christ, and we'd love to introduce him to you. And he looked at me and said, I'm a Christian. Okay. I said, well, that's great. He said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I thought, well, I don't know what else to say. So before I left, I just kind of slapped those tracks on my hand. I said, well, you know, Jesus could come tonight. Well, that's pretty good, didn't you? Jesus could come tonight. And he looked at me and said, well, yeah, but then again, it could be 100 years from now. A Christian said that. Now, I want to tell you something. I've got to admit, that has bothered me for those 30-plus years since that happened. But it never occurred to me why it bothered me till 2 weeks ago. It wasn't the accuracy or lack of accuracy with, yes, it could be 100 years from now. That's not what was bothering me. What was bothering me was the man's attitude in saying that. No believer should have that attitude. Well, yeah, then again, his coming could be 100 years from now. I'll tell you the attitude the believer ought to have. The believer ought to have this attitude. This could be the day. Jesus could come to. Is that your attitude this morning? As you sit in the house of worship, is it your attitude that Jesus could come today? That's the attitude the believer should live with, always expecting the coming of the Lord. To believe or not to believe Jesus' coming will change a person's attitude and manner and style of living. When folks lose the expectancy that Jesus could come at any time, it changes the way they think. It changes the way they act. It changes the way they live. Did you know it'll also even change a church? You let a church lose that expectancy of the coming of Jesus Christ, it'll change that way, the way that church worships. It'll change the way that church reaches out. It'll change everything. I'm just telling you, when we have an expectancy that Jesus is coming again, there's something about that changes us and everything about us. I have found, and I know that there's many, but I have found that there's some indications of when a Christian has lost his expectancy that Jesus is coming. I put it in a quick quiz. It's a short quiz with just four questions. And if you would indulge me, each individual in the house, amen. Amen. Make sure your neighbor's awake to take the quiz. Amen. I don't want their grade to suffer. Amen. I used to be a teacher. Make sure your neighbor's awake. Let's take this quiz. Just four questions. Do I expect Jesus to come? Four questions. Have I lost my expectancy for his coming? Question number one. I'm talking about personalize this. Question number one. Is going to church a priority? You say, how is that an indicator? Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and much more as you see the day approaching. I have found that people that are expecting his coming, they love to come to church. They love to come to church and worship. They love to come to church and pray. They love to come to church and hear the word of God. Question number one. Question number two is reaching the lost a passion. Amen. I'm telling you, when folks are expecting Jesus to come, there's something in their heart that says, not only do I want to be ready, but I want my lost loved ones to be ready. I want my neighbors to be ready. I want those I know at school to be ready. I want the co-workers at work to be ready. When folks are expecting the Lord to come, they have a passion to reach the lost. All service, I was going to have Sister Ruth make a report on Sidewalk Sunday School yesterday, and I forgot to have her come up. It just slipped my mind and didn't tell her she was coming. I was just going to just spring it on her. Amen. But I'm glad for what the church did yesterday, going out on the streets, spending 3 hours, amen, getting folks to come, putting the tarps down and preaching the gospel through song and puppet and whatever else they did. And I heard the report that there was almost as many adults there as there were children. Why? People are lost. They know they're lost. They know they're hopeless. Amen. They know they need something that's not in their life. And I'll tell you, when the people of God begin to expect Jesus to come, with that expectation comes a passion. We've got to get folks ready for this. We've got to see lives changed, people saved. Question number three is, am I seeking to live pure with a Christ-likeness? Is it my desire? Is it my purpose to live pure? You see, when people are expecting Christ to come, they don't try to live as close to the world as they can live. They don't get in big discussions about, can I do this or can I do that? But, oh, I'm telling you, when you expect Jesus to come, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. When you got that hope, You do everything possible, amen, to seek to live purely and cleanly and righteously. Fourth question, do I have an expectancy? Have I lost an expectancy? It's the moving of the Holy Spirit, a purpose of my life. I'll tell you, come in on a Sunday morning, and when folks are expecting Jesus to come, they've got one thing in mind. Oh, I want to see the Spirit move this morning. I want to see the Spirit to convict the lost and draw them to it. I want to see the Spirit to get a hold of the one that's sliding backwards and arrest their fall and bring them back. Oh, I'm telling you, when folks begin to expect Jesus to come, amen, it's a priority to see the Holy Spirit move in their lives, in the church, on the young people, middle-aged, on up. I'm telling you, they just somehow go together. And if I had 30 minutes, I'd go back in Pentecostal history and show you how they go together. The expectancy of Christ and the desire to see the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I know I've spent a little time here, but I want to look at these four verses and pray that the Holy Spirit would talk to us about expectancy. And remember, amen, His word. These are Jesus' words. And those are a reliable guide to what's going to happen and the unexpectedness of His coming. Amen. The first thing I want to leave with us, and you can just bank on this, His coming is always near in every time. His coming is always near in every time. Look at verse 33. Likewise, ye. Now, He was talking to those of His day. When ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. The point is, even the very first Christians believed that Jesus' coming was soon to happen. If you don't believe that, read the epistles to the Thessalonians. They had an expectancy that Jesus was going to come at any time. That's been centuries ago. And throughout those centuries, at every time, believers who were attuned to their scripture, attuned to the Spirit and to their Lord, throughout the centuries, those believers expected Jesus to come and come soon. And I have a question for you this morning. If throughout the centuries they believed that Jesus was coming and coming soon, were they wrong? I mean, we said here 2,000 years later, they believed He would come in their time. He didn't come. Were they wrong? Were they mistaken? Were they off in their calculations? Amen. I want to answer emphatically. No, they were not wrong. Jesus very well could have come in their time. And I didn't intend to preach this, but let me give you just one indication what's going on. Amen. Amen. He is coming. Amen. I said He is coming. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I'll tell you one reason Jesus didn't come yesterday. Amen. Because He was waiting for you to hear this sermon and have an opportunity to surrender your life to and be saved today and be ready if He comes today. Amen. Amen. All through the centuries, were they wrong? No. Jesus could have come. Let me give you a crude illustration. When we were in Missouri and Oklahoma, once again, there were tornado alarms. And I'll share more about one of those later. And they had them again. They've just been having one after the other. I want to ask you a question. Those meteorologists, how do they make those forecasts? Let's be nice to them for a moment. Amen. How do those meteorologists, those weathermen, make a forecast about a tornado? Amen. They go into work, right? Is this the way they do it? They go into work and they get their calendar out, or they use the old-fashioned kind. They get their desk counter out and they start going through the months and they look down, and sure enough, amen, on May 25th, 2015, in the little box, amen, written right there or typed right there is tornado. Is that the way they make those tornado forecasts? And then they look a few more days, and sure enough, on May 31st at 3 o'clock, there it is written in the calendar. Amen. Tornado. Amen. You say that would be ridiculous. Well, it's just as ridiculous to think that we can determine when Jesus is going to come by a calendar date. His coming isn't determined by a calendar date, but just like a tornado, his coming is determined by the conditions of the day. I'll tell you why a weatherman in Oklahoma puts us under a tornado watch or puts him under a tornado warning. Amen. He gets the data, and all of the data from atmospheric pressure to wind speed and all of that moisture in the air, all of the data says the conditions are here that a tornado could form at any moment. The conditions are here. I want to tell you, if you're a Bible believing Christian whose heart's been changed by the Lord, you ought to be able to do the same thing. You ought to look around you at our world and you ought to come to the conclusion, the conditions are here, amen, that makes the coming of the Lord very, very probable. Oh, hallelujah. How many can sense the conditions that Jesus is coming? Oh, hallelujah. And so the weatherman goes on television, radio, and he gives and issues the warning that there is a tornado watch from this time to that time. Now, let's suppose, and it happened when we were there. You go through that window of a tornado watch and there's no tornado. I'm going to ask you a question. Were the meteorologists wrong to issue a tornado watch? I mean, it's the next day. The sun's shining now. There's no wind. There's not a cloud in the eye. And there was no tornado. Were those meteorologists wrong to issue a tornado watch? How many think they were wrong? No, they weren't wrong. The conditions were there. It might have been your grandpa that stood in a church and testified and said, I believe. He looked around. He looked around. Your dad looked around at the world and stood and said, I believe Jesus is coming. Amen. Now he's went home to be with the Lord. Was he wrong? No, he wasn't wrong. He read the conditions right. Jesus could have come at that moment. I said he could have come. Hallelujah. Amen. Since the Father others fell asleep. The scoffer said, all things continue as they were. Grandpa said he was coming. The prophet said he was coming. The apostle said he was coming. John said it's the last hour. And the scoffer say he didn't come. And Peter said, yes, but he could have come. And that doesn't change the fact that his word says he is coming. And so just because he didn't come yesterday, it's no indication that he's not coming today. Oh, it's time for Christians. Amen. To take stock of the spiritual conditions and say everything is pointing to the coming of our Lord and our Savior. They were not wrong. In every age, conditions developed that shouted, Jesus is coming. Let me give you an illustration, not of tornadoes, but an illustration Jesus used. In the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and all of those things. And then what did he say? He said, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. And any that in this room that would choose to research that, you'll find that Jesus' word for sorrows, it is translated sorrows, is the word for when travail hits a woman. When a woman is expectant with child and travail hits her. Basically what he said is that Jesus was saying the birth pains are there. The child's not yet born. The end is not yet come. But that does not take away from the fact that the birth pains, the indicators that the child is on its way, are there. We are seeing the beginning of sorrows. Have we not seen them? Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm being very discreet here, but when a woman's with child, many of you experience this. You thought it was the time. You were experiencing birth pains. You made a trip to the hospital, but they subsided. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was there any doubt in your mind when the birth pains subsided? Did any of you say, well, I guess... I mean, you might have said this, but did you really believe it? Didn't he say, well, I'll just never have this baby. It'll never be born. Did you? No. You knew that even though those were the beginning of birth pains, and the child wasn't born at that time, the birth pains were coming again. And one time the birth pains came, that child would be born. Paul said, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so I would like to present to you that many times, perhaps in every time, the birth pains have been there. The signs have been there. And just because the child was not born on that occasion does not mean that this time, with these birth pains, the child will not be born. Jesus said, when you see these things, the end is not yet. But he never said the end is not coming. He just said, it's not yet. Oh, I want you to know the birth pain. This whole world groaneth and travaileth in pain, Romans 8, until now. This world is experiencing birth pains. I'm telling you, from earthquakes, natural phenomena, things happening in space. Things happen in the economies of the world. Things happen in politics. The wickedness of man. We need to interpret those for what they are. They are the travail that's come upon this world. And just because the child wasn't born last decade doesn't mean it's not going to happen now. I'm telling you, he is coming. His coming is near to every believer. The second thing I want to point out, his coming cannot be given a date. Verse 36, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. His coming, and I've already emphasized this, I'm just summarizing, but his coming is not a day on the calendar. His coming is about the conditions of the day. Hear me across this building. You may be on television, there may be a crowd of 10,000 listening to the man or the woman. But if they say the Lord's going to come on such and such a date, they are a false prophet. You're hearing heresy. You hear me? It's a dangerous thing to set dates for the coming of the Lord. All through history, men have taken upon themselves, presumed to set dates for the coming of the Lord. They impressed people with their charts, with their calculations, their lunar calendars, their solar calendars, their Jewish feast calendars. Even they have impressed folks and set a date. But every one of them, on the authority of Christ's word, has been wrong. There's many we can mention, but in my time, in your time, Harold Camping, does the name ring a bell? Amen. Actually, he set many dates. Amen. He set on May 21st, it's slipping me now, 2011. Amen. It was wrong anyway. If I get it wrong, that's no big deal. He had it wrong. Amen. May 21st, 2011, he said, he put it out on the airwaves that Jesus was going to come on that date. Jesus didn't come. He said, I forgot to carry my two. Let's refigure it. He's coming in October. He was wrong. They're always going to be wrong. Amen. One of the first times that I can recollect when somebody set a date was when they wrote the book, the man wrote the book, 88 Reasons the Lord, it would come in 1988. How many remembers that book? Amen. If you didn't read it, we used to have some copies in the sound room. I didn't put them there. Brother Tim didn't either. Wrong. I said he's wrong. And by the way, I don't need 88 reasons to believe Jesus is coming back. I just need one reason. He said he was. I said he said he was. Amen. It's wrong to set a date. I've heard it said, and really, in a sense, it's true. I've heard all these fellows setting dates, and they not happen. That has killed some people's faith. How many's heard that's killed? Oh, because they got all built up. Oh, Jesus coming. They were excited and it didn't come. Some of them backslide. Some of them don't believe in Jesus coming anymore. I've heard it over and over. It killed their faith. I tell you, it shouldn't have killed their faith, because Jesus wasn't the one that set the date. He was a man that set the day. Now listen, I want you to hear this. I want to bring it together. The point is, it is not wrong. In fact, it is right to believe Jesus is coming soon. The wrong is to set a date. Now I want you to think about that setting a date things. To say you can't set a date doesn't just mean you can't tell when Jesus is coming, but it also means you can't tell when Jesus isn't coming. Listen, you're a heretic, Brother Wilson. If you say Jesus is coming May 25th, that's tomorrow, at 3 p.m. in 2015, if you set that date and say the Lord's coming, you're a heretic. You can't set that date. But I'll tell you something else, Brother Rose. You're just as wrong if you say the Lord can't come tomorrow, May 25th, at 3 p.m. 2015. You're just as wrong to take that date and say he can't come. Even just as wrong to set a date when he's coming. Just as wrong to set a date that he's not coming. Oh, I'll go out. I'll commit this sin. I know it's wrong, but the Lord's not coming today. You just set a date for his not coming. I'll tell you the best thing is don't set a date. Just every day. I said every day. Say this could be the day. Gee, expect him every day and you'll not be caught by surprise. Amen. 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 I want you to look at another thing. His coming, though it cannot be dated, must always be watched for. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So since we can't set a date, does that mean that people should just forget about his coming? Does that mean that you and I can't look at each other and say, well, I think the Lord might be coming? I'd like to say emphatically, just because I can't set the date doesn't mean I can't tell when it's near. I was still on staff at the Bible school when the first Gulf War broke out, and everyone was concerned because it was all that was happening in the Middle East. And after teaching, I worked part-time at a cabinet shop and just barely got showered and got to church. Just got set down and everybody was stirred up about it. I'd listened about it on NPR on the way home from work, and I stirred up. Everybody in the church was stirred up. And just right out of the blue in the service, the pastor of the church called my name. He said, stand up and tell us what you think's going on. I mean, I don't like that deer in the head light thingy more than you do. I like to do it to people's pastor, just call them up to see, but I don't like it happening to me. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, your Bible school teacher, there wasn't some prophetic thing. And I remember simply saying, and I felt really insecure about it at the time, but I still think maybe God dropped it in my heart. I said, what you're seeing tonight, this may not be the end. But I said, when the end comes, it's going to look like what you're seeing tonight. In other words, you really don't know what you're seeing. Is it the end? Because it very well could be. We're so sterilized, or we're so cauterized against hearing about all these things that's happening in the Middle East and things that are in line with Bible prophecy. And I'm not going into that. We're so accustomed to that, it hardly fazes us anymore. Right? Because it didn't happen during the Gulf War, did it? It didn't happen just 2 years ago in the uprisings. And I want to tell you, when it does happen, it's not going to look any different than those times looked. It's just this time it's going to escalate past a certain point, and we're going to be there living. I hope we won't be there, but humanity will be there living Revelation. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us in a special way. Let's take a moment and pray. And if God is moving your heart to give this interpretation this morning, just obey the Lord. I mean, would you pray across the building? Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's pray for eternal things to happen right now. Hallelujah. 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 God's prompting your heart. Obey the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's seek him a moment. Could you across the building? Amen. God is speaking all across. Oh, I want to be ready. Amen. Go through that little quiz again. Do I love church? Do I want to reach the lost? Do I want to live pure? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, continue to speak to us. Hallelujah. We'll be finishing this message in just a moment, and God may already be dealing with your heart. And if you're here, an unbeliever or unprepared for his return, you can come to these steps we use as an altar at any time. Folks will be here to pray with you. Our one concern is not that we just have something to share of the theology of his coming, but our desire is that somebody's life could be changed this morning and made ready and prepared for his return. Oh, hallelujah. How many's feeling that in your hearts? I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Amen. His coming cannot be dated, but it must be watched for. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention to the signs of the time. It means since we can't date his coming, we must pay attention to the signs of the time. I recently read a book about the ambassador from America to Germany right prior to World War II. This is one of the most intelligent men of our nation at the time, a scholar of history. He knew inside and out. He'd spent time to get one of his doctorate degrees in Germany, and now he's the American ambassador. Now he's in Berlin. And he sees them, the munitions being increased and the factories they're building for airplanes and artillery. And he sees the SS demonstrations in the streets. And he has the reports of the killings of Jews and the beatings of Americans. And he has these talks with Hitler and different government officials. And he keeps writing back to Washington. I think Hitler wants peace. I don't think our world will ever come to World War II. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think Hitler will back down. I don't think he'll ever invade a nation. And he lived right in the center where it was all happening. He saw it every day. He got the reports every day. And the signs were all there that there was going to be World War II. But he kept right. He never saw it till the end of his tenure. But right there, seeing all the signs, he kept sending the message back. Hitler wants peace. We see how wrong he was. They'll never be World War II. We see how wrong he was. I want to tell you, folks are living in the middle of it. They're seeing it happen all around them. They see the signs everywhere, and yet they keep telling themselves, Jesus won't come. It'll never happen. Those things of Revelation will never. You're going to be as wrong as that ambassador. Why? Because this book is history written before it even happens. Jesus is coming again. The signs are all here. Amen. You may say, well, it's not here, but that doesn't mean it's not near. Amen. It could happen today, even this very day. You would think that not knowing the day or the hour would encourage less expectancy. But I'm telling you, because we don't have a calendar day, it ought to increase our expectancy. You say, how so? I'll tell you how so. I could take any date. But if I told you the Lord was going to come July 4th, 2018, folks, many of them, not you, necessarily. But many folks would say he's not coming until July 4, 2017. I'll go live my life. I'll sin my sin. I'll do this and I'll do that. Amen. People will go to sleep in church and say we got 2 years till the Lord comes. Amen. So not knowing the calendar date doesn't take away our expectancy. It increases our expectancy. Amen. We don't know that he's not coming today. Therefore, we expect him today. It's not on the calendar for tomorrow. Therefore, we expect him tomorrow. Oh, how many wants to be one of those believers that just has an expectancy for his coming, reaching out, believing. Last of all, this morning, his coming, if near, must be watched for. And if it must be watched for, it must be prepared for. Matthew 24, verse 44. Jesus said, therefore, he just said, watch. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Did you hear our elder? Did you hear what Brother Wilson said? He said, get ready, but then stay ready. Thank you, elder. There are folks that if Jesus had come 2 months ago, they'd been ready. 2 years ago, they'd been ready. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now, church, help me. I'm not preaching false doctrine. I'm not preaching a bitter pill. I'm preaching good news. I preach that Jesus died on the cross. That's gospel. I preach that he rose again from the dead. That's gospel. I preach that he ascended into the heavens and poured out the Holy Ghost. That's gospel. But when I preach he's coming again, that's gospel too. That's good news. Oh, I said hallelujah. As certain as he rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, he's coming back. And you know, because he said it. He said, I go away. And if I go away, he said, I will come again. Oh, to be prepared for it. Now notice what he said. Be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming. In other words, if people aren't thinking about his coming, how will they be prepared for his coming? Now please, no hands, but how many really thought about the coming of the Lord last week? If we don't think about his coming, how will we be prepared for it? You know, it really gets intense, because it's not just that some people don't think he'll come today. They just don't think about his coming at all. It's when we begin to think about his coming that we prepare. This is not about music. This is about the condition of so-called believers' hearts. I'm not making a positional statement on any type of Christian music, but I want to ask you a question. Amen. Amen. I started to have you identify yourselves, but I'll just ask the question. How many remembers the 70s and early 80s? Almost every new Christian song was about Jesus coming. Am I telling you the truth? Let me put it tenderly. Those that are around my age bracket, in my age bracket. How many remember that in the 70s and 80s, the songs were about the coming of Jesus Christ? I remember. And I'll tell you why folks were thinking about his coming. We were. I remember sitting at my drafting desk in high school, looking out that plate glass window towards the east. I literally expected at any moment to see the Lord coming from that. Amen. I want to now challenge you. And again, this is not a statement on Christian music. But how many songs can you think of written in the last 5 or 10 years that have made the top charts of the Christian music industry were about the coming of Jesus Christ? You may be able to think of the exception, but that's the point. It's the exception. Why aren't they there? You say they don't sell. Why don't they sell? If that's the reason, it's because people aren't thinking about his coming. Didn't he say he's coming in an hour when they think not? That doesn't mean he tries to find when people aren't thinking and then he comes. He's just saying they are unprepared for it. Did you know whenever he comes will be sooner than the unexpected think? Whenever he comes. Whenever he comes will be sooner than the unprepared think. Amen. In the hour that they think not. And you know me by now, and And I've always got some help, because if nobody else laughs, Sister Norvell will. So I always just look back at her. But my mind thinks in strange ways. And Brother Richie, back when I was teaching, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, but, you know, some days they weren't sitting there in rapt attention, you know. Some days the guys would bring pillows in their briefcases, open it like that, and put their head down. Some days they'd stayed up too late and they were all in a stupor. You know, you'd be teaching, you know. You know, kind of like a Sunday morning. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. And I would just stop class sometime and I'd say, "Hold it." And that'd get their attention, you know, the change of the cadence. I said, "Hold it." I said, "The Lord's about to come." And they'd look at me and say, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because he said he's coming an hour you think not." And there is not one person in this class that's doing any thinking right now. So I know the Lord's about to come. But you know, there's some truth. It's when we're thinking about his coming that we're preparing for his coming. Amen. How many wants to think about his coming? I remember when I got on fire for God in high school, public high school. I got my Bible and Knowing Doctrines of the Bible by Meyer Perlman. And I wasn't trying to put on a show. I just got my heart got on fire. And I put him under my arm, and that sidewalk was about from here to Vaughn Hall. I remember walking up through there, through those guys smoking. Some of them were smoking marijuana, but anyway, smoking their cigarettes and everything. And I wanted to tell them about Jesus, but I can remember about this time of year, it wasn't just that school was getting out. It was a pretty day, and I was singing, "What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again." It makes a difference when you're thinking about his coming. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to take his word for it? He's coming. He's coming. Go ahead, music. Would you come? Amen. But Jesus is coming. Believers of every age should live with that expectancy that Jesus could return at any time. Amen. 2,000 years have passed. Believers at every age have expected Jesus to come, and he didn't. But that simply means we're 2,000 years closer to when it happens. Amen. 2,000 years. The thing that disturbs me, 2,000 years later, many Christians in many places of the world have less expectancy of his coming than the Christians of the first century. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, I know just talking about prophecy, teaching, and preaching, that alone will never do it in our hearts. But there's a little phrase in an old song. I believe it's "Looking for a City." And in that song, there's a little prayer that says, "Come, oh Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew." That's what I'm praying for. It's not the weight of my message other than the Word of God in it. It's that we open up our hearts and say, "Oh Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus expects his people to live with an expectancy. And oh Holy Spirit, I realize I don't have the expectancy for the return of Christ like oh Holy Spirit, would you just begin to move in my heart that by the time I leave this place, walk through those doors, there's something in my heart that's saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be prepared. I think of that old spiritual. What you going to do when this world's on fire? I'm telling you, amen. Make it global warming, whatever you want to call it, but the point is, it's going to be great calamity. God is going to judge. And what are you going to do when things do end up? I'm telling you what to do this morning. Get covered with the blood of Jesus. Get your sins washed away. Put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ. And when it all happens, you'll go back with Jesus when he comes. Hallelujah. You'll be on the right side of the line. You'll be in his army and not the armies of rebellion. Amen. You can be ready. You can be prepared in such an hour as you think not. When we were in the Osho at 1 in the morning, the tornado alarms went off, and we were in a room at Central. We didn't hear it. Sandra's mom got us up, and first thing I did is I went outside, looked around, and y'all, it looked tornado-y. The next thing I did is I got the radar on my iPhone. I saw the conditions, but then I kept my eye glued on the radar, watching that little hook of formation as it was moving around the Osho. Amen. Kept my eye glued on it. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the way we ought to be with believers. Take a good look around. I said, take a good look around.
And then you get your eyes on the book. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, I was able at that occasion finally to say, it's went around us. We can go back to bed. And the radio announcer said the same thing. I'm telling you, that may happen. May happen several times in your life. There were times you believed Jesus had to have come. He didn't. Oh, but you had your eyes on the conditions. You were looking at the radar, and it was right there. It might have bypassed for the moment, but that doesn't mean next time it's going to bypass. Keep your eye around you. Keep your eye on the radar. It's going to happen. I said, it's going to happen. Not on my word, on His word. Not from the things I've said, the illustrations I've given, but on His word, on His. Would you stand this morning? Would you lift your heart and hand and say, Lord, I want to go back with you. I want to be ready when you come. I want to be prepared. I want to be watching. I want to be waiting. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Come on, let's pray, church, that God would do something eternal in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, be made real by the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Would you bow your head just a moment and listen? Amen. I know I preached about the coming of Jesus, but there's those here this morning, you came and your life feels so hopeless. Amen. It's not just the conditions of the world. It's the conditions of your own life, your own mind, your own home. It looks so dark. It looks so hopeless. Amen. You're without Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning. If you feel so hopeless, amen, without Christ, would you come this morning to these steps that we use as an altar? Would you come and kneel and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need the light that you are in my darkness. I need your deliverance. I need hope. I need you. I have no hope. If you're here, don't even hesitate. Slip into an aisle and come. There'll be folks that'll meet you and pray with you this morning. You say, I need Jesus in my life. Are you here? You need Jesus. Would you come? Would you come? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Amen. From young on up, I need Jesus. Amen. I realize I may not be a Christian. I may not go to church much, but I realize things are happening to this old earth. Things are getting bad. I need Jesus. Would you like to come? Hallelujah. Anywhere across the building. Oh, you're without hope. I'm telling you, that's because you're without Jesus. But you can leave here with hope in your life. Oh, Holy Spirit, seize this moment. Holy Spirit, seize this moment. Move in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 You need Jesus. Maybe you need someone to come with you. Just say, would you go pray with me? Hallelujah. You hear you need the Lord. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. That altar call is still open. But if you're here, I'm not just going to give an altar call for those that would be honest and say, well, I don't feel like I'm ready, but I'd like to be ready. I'm going to just put it this way. All across the house, if you want to be watching, expectant, when Jesus comes as a thief in the night, you want to be watching and ready. Oh, if the goodman of the house had have known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. You want to be watching. I want you to come and fill these altars and say, when he comes, I'll be watching. Would you fill the altars this morning? I'll be expectant. I'll be ready. I'll be prepared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a group of people getting ready to leave. Hallelujah. If you need the Lord, just come with these as they come to pray. Somebody will be here to pray with you. Oh, you need Jesus. Hopeless without Him. Hopeless without Him. Hopeless without Him. I need Jesus. I need the Lord. going to be ready. Oh, that's it. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Let's pray this morning. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. That's the only thing that'll matter. When all starts taking place, all starts happening. I want to be ready. I want to be ready, Lord. I want my family to be ready. Lord, I want my spouse to be ready. I want my loved ones to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be watching. I want my heart pure, my mind pure, my life pure.